The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Thursday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Frank Morano, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is Piscopo in the Morning on AM 970, The Answer.
Piscopo in the Morning. This is Frank Morano here with Al Gattulo. And for two more hours, one of the foremost experts in, when it comes to homeland security, when it comes to terrorism, when it comes to policing in the entire country, maybe the entire world, former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik. Commissioner, you know, we were talking yesterday about this incredible story that was all over the front pages of this ACS worker who had just finished serving a 30-year prison sentence for murder, and then gets a job with ACS, the Administration for Children's Services, and then is now accused of abusing a six-year-old child. We're all for giving prisoners a second chance, but do you think maybe if you just finished serving a 30-year sentence for murder, maybe working with children, particularly the most vulnerable among us, maybe that's not the first job that ACS should be looking to give folks?
Honestly, Frank, somebody called me and asked me about this yesterday, and I thought they were joking. I thought they were getting into some kind of joke or something. I don't even have an answer for that. I don't know what the screening process is, but I do know that just from a common sense perspective, it's something you may not want to have. And I'm all for second chances. You know, they say America's the land of second chances, which I think is a farce anyway. But no, I don't know. I don't know who there is. It was a grave mistake. And it's a policy issue that has to change.
Well, you know, we've been talking throughout the morning about the current mayor, Bill de Blasio's interest and ability to run the city agencies. When you look at NYCHA, where his handpicked chairman of the housing authority lied. She lied about whether or not there had been inspections done for lead paint and where there's inadequate boilers. And it's really chaos. It's chaos when it comes to crimes, chaos when it comes to lead paint, chaos when it comes to people that didn't have heat in the middle of the winter. Then you look at what's happening with ACS, where people that serve 30 years for murder get to work with children. And then you look at what I think on a daily basis is the most obvious example of the mayor's disinterest and failure. And that is the pandemic homelessness that I encounter every single morning. Now, we saw there's always been homeless in New York City. I've lived in New York my whole life. I've always seen it. But under Mayor Giuliani, under Mayor Bloomberg, there was homeless. But I don't remember homeless just setting up camp in perpetuity on the street in the middle of the financial district, as I see now as I'm tripping over them on my way to work every day. Tell me from your perspective, as someone that worked in the Giuliani administration and was a police officer in the Dinkins administration, where did the homeless go under the Bloomberg and Giuliani era, and where have they returned from?
I encountered about six of these people coming up Wall Street at 5:30 this morning, and it's kind of shocking. You know, you're standing in front of the New York Stock Exchange, one of the most historic buildings, I guess, in the country, and there's like six homeless people sleeping around it. I can tell you, under Giuliani's term and Bloomberg following, homeless couldn't stay on the streets like they do today. They went to a shelter. You got them to a shelter. You got them to a clinic. Got them to a hospital. You can't leave them out there. It's dangerous for them. It's dangerous for the community, for the public. And Giuliani was adamant. We cannot have this. We're not going to have it. And we did everything in our power to move them.
So what do you do? So let's say you're when you were commissioner, a police officer sees a homeless person sleeping on the street. No shoes, no shirt, just like living in a cardboard box.
Let's go. You can't just lay. This isn't a house. You know, it's a cardboard co-op, they used to call them. No. You got to go up, out, move, go somewhere, go find a job, go do whatever you have to do. If that person is mentally or physically incapable of having a job or being able to move, well, then it's up to you as a public servant to get them to a services that they should go to, whether it's going to be a shelter, a clinic, or a hospital. Move them. You physically move them. You know, Frank,
So you see a mentally ill person living on the street. You take them to a mental hospital.
A mental hospital. You take them to Bellevue. There's protocols in place to... Here's the thing. There are protocols in place to do this, but it's not a priority of the mayor. You know, they say, you know, stuff rolls downhill, right? In the Giuliani administration, it rolled downhill quick. And if you didn't have these guys moved, if there was, you know, I used to get calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. Giuliani called me one time. He says, we have two homeless and a panhandler on 96th Street by the exit, by the FDR Drive. Twice in 1 week he called. The third time he called, I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I went down there myself. I looked at it, and I started making phone calls to the chief of patrol.
So while you're the commissioner?
I was the commissioner. Wow. And basically I told the precinct commander of that precinct at the time, you're going to live on this corner in a van. That's going to be your office. You're going to put it on this corner in a van if I get one more call. And guess what? I didn't get any more calls.
So
they were gone.
Let's say you come across a homeless person on the street who is clearly suffering from some sort of substance abuse, be it alcohol, drugs,
whatever.
Then get
them to a clinic. Use your brain. Use some common sense.
Well, so then we've talked about how effective Commissioner O'Neill and Commissioner Bratton have been at running a police department. You've said, to Mayor de Blasio's credit, he's left them alone. Clearly, Commissioner O'Neill has to know that that's the proper way to deal with pandemic homelessness.
Listen,
on the street. Why isn't that being done?
I know he knows because he was a captain during our time. He was, I think, a captain or a deputy inspector under me. I'm sure he knows. Here's the problem. It's not a priority for the mayor. And the mayor doesn't want, I guess the mayor doesn't want these people touched. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know personally, but there's no other reason to have this major influx of homeless and panhandlers and all the stuff, the negative stuff that was captured in the city back in the 90s, 80s and 90s that we eliminated, it's all back.
Mm.
And it's coming back quickly. Why it's not being addressed, the only person that can answer that question is the mayor.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Elias Hussamadine coming up in about 10 minutes. He's the current president of the Control Officers Benevolent Association.
Elias Hussamadine.
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 I don't even think he can pronounce it correctly. it sounds different every time I talk to him. 877-970-2999. Let's say hello to, speaking of the situation at Rikers Island, Viviana in Brooklyn. Hello there, Viviana.
Good morning, Commissioner Kerrick. Frank, you're doing a great job with these different people you're bringing. Commissioner Kerrick,
yes, ma'am.
I understood that Jay-Z and some other people were looking at Rikers Island as a prospective real estate property. Now the mayor wants to close Rikers Island, not because it's possibly not because it's a bad and a difficult place to manage, because you were able to manage it. He wants to disperse the population to the five boroughs. What do you believe about that? And if you believe the way I do, could you do the pushback and say no way?
Well, I've said no way. Rikers should not be closed, and it shouldn't be closed for a number of different reasons. Number one, you have extreme violence. You've got corruption. You've got all kind of things going on at Rikers. In Rikers, in the system, not only Rikers, but in the borough facilities as well, you can move those inmates to Mars. It's not going to make things any better. The problem is you have to manage the agency. You need new leadership. You need to hold the inmates accountable for what they're doing. You need to make sure the correction officers and the staff is doing the job they're sworn to do. But moving the inmates themselves, that's not going to make anything any better. You need a complete change in leadership, management, and accountability. There's nothing wrong with Rikers. Rikers, the facilities at Rikers, through routine maintenance and upkeep, you can take care of Rikers. We're a lot better off with them there than them spread all over the five boroughs. And I'll leave you with this. The mayor has a hard time getting a homeless shelter or getting him a community center in a certain community, you know, getting it approved. Do you actually think that the mayor's going to get 4 3,000-bed facilities approved in four boroughs? Because Staten Island already said they're not taking one.
Yeah,
So you'd have to put it in four boroughs. That means you would need four buildings, three times the size of the Tombs. The Tombs downtown, the Manhattan House of Detention, that's an 800-bed facility. You need 3,000 beds in each of the boroughs. Are you nuts? Who's going to approve
that? Right. Well, the mayor's not going to be worried. It'll be somebody else's problem. He'll be gone in 3 years, and it'll be the next mayor's problem to deal with. 877-970-2999. Let's say hello to Terry in Manhattan. Terry, hello. Thanks for calling Piscopo in the morning.
Thank you. Gentlemen, great show. I'm concerned that the legacy media, TV and radio, are not covering Shel Farley's candidacy. She's like raindrops on scorched earth. She's a wonderful candidate. I don't even see her name spread across any of the gossip pages in the Post. How are the three moderate political parties that are backing her going to get her name out between here and the election? She deserves our vote. And the poor people who don't own Spectrum, which, by the way, is a very corrupt and very leftist organization, and only have these legacy places to go to learn about her candidacy. How are we going to do it?
Well, thank you for the call, Terry. I certainly agree with most of what you said. I'm not going to, you know, go that far and call Charter Spectrum completely leftist and corrupt. But I'll tell you, the way they're treating the Spectrum workers that have been on strike for a year, as they refuse to bargain with them in good faith, even though these are workers that had an agreement with Time Warner, and Charter Spectrum bought Time Warner fully knowing that these labor agreements were in place, certainly doesn't seem to bode well for their reputation in honesty. But Commissioner, I think Terry raises an interesting question about the nature of the way the media covers news these days. It seems like so much.
Hold on. The most of the media doesn't cover news. Most of the media is a driving force, in my opinion, for the left. That's what it is. We see it constantly. They diminish everything that I talked about earlier, everything that America is supposed to be. It seems like they promote the opposite. They promote the people that promote the opposite. And I wrote an article about this last week where the mainstream media is sort of a propaganda machine now for a socialist culture, for the left-wing Democratic, the far-left Democratic Party. And I strongly believe that. All you have to do is sit back and watch it and listen. So they're not going to cover Republican congressional candidates. They're not going to do it.
Well, so, you know, we had Bill O'Reilly on this show a couple of weeks ago, and Joe Piscopo asked him, you know, what do you think of the state of cable news? And, you know, this was a guy that was number one in prime time on cable news for a long, long time. And he basically said, well, you basically have three major networks. You have the MSNBC, which is wall-to-wall, we hate Trump network. And you have CNN, which is a mildly hate Trump network disguised as an objective news organization, which they're not. And then you have Fox, and this is O'Reilly saying this, which has basically, with a few exceptions like Shepard Smith and Dana Perino and a couple of others, become basically a network that exists just to defend Trump. But, and this is O'Reilly saying this, not me, You have three networks that are totally centered around Trump. We don't have news. We have a reality show based on the White House. And how, what a shame it is if that's the case. And I agree with his analysis that there are so many news stories, forgetting about politics, economics, business, sports, the culture, society. There are so many news story, crime. There are so many stories that aren't getting any coverage because there's not a way to either blame Trump or give him credit for these news stories. So they end up not getting covered.
You know what, Frank? I have three apps on my phone, three different apps for news. The Drudge, Mail Online, which comes out of the UK, but they seem to have everything under the sun on there, and Newsmax, Newsmax Media. Those are the three apps that I use because, you know, if you go to Fox, it's everything about Trump, and it's you know, and I love Fox. I'm big fans of theirs. I know a lot of the guys there, but you know, it's not news anymore. I want to know the news. I want to know what's going on in the world.
Right.
I want to know what's happening
right.
in my neighborhood, things like that.
And you're an occasional columnist for Newsmax, right?
For Newsmax, yeah.
Yeah, so people can go to Newsmax.com, read some of your writings on that. Coming up a little later, I want to ask you, as someone that was responsible for New York's public safety on September 11th, what you make of the criticism by some of the president's critics that Russia's attempt to interfere in the election was on par with either September 11th or Pearl Harbor. I want to ask you about that. But before we do, we're going to talk with Elias Husamuddin about what's happening at Rikers Island, what's happening at the Brooklyn House of Detention. We're seeing an uptick in the number of incidents of violence, and we're seeing the mayor making a big, big push for voter registration at Rikers Island. We're going to ask Elias about it next. We're here with Commissioner Bernie Kerik, the man who helped transform Rikers and dramatically decrease the levels of violence there. And we're going to hear about the traffic from Debbie Duhame. Hello there, Debbie.
Hi, Frank. Thank you so much. And I'll tell you what's happening. We still have these issues with New Jersey Transit this morning on the Northeast Corridor. It looks like service restored between Metro Park and Trenton, but an hour delay following that earlier police department activity over in Metuchen. It looks like you're still seeing cross-honoring with the path trains. Also, five other trains canceled with the positive train control. Let's see what's happening. That's with New Jersey Transit. We'll see what's happening on the rails. If you're heading over to the 6th train, delays with signal problems as well. Let's see what's happening at the inbound GWB. That's down to 10 minutes. Lincoln 30. Holland still waiting about 30 as well. 280 West, exit 15 into Newark, a crash. 80 eastbound out by exit 68 into Ridgefield Park, a collision there. The New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes north at 13, an accident waiting for you. And Deacon South heavy at Fordham Road with construction. Let's go to the southbound Van Wyck at Jackie Robinson, a disabled vehicle. Partly cloudy today, high of 91. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame, AM 970, The Answer.
This weekend on Champions of Justice, how much do we need lawyers? What's their role in our lives? And how are they being trained today? These are the questions we pose to the Dean of the Santa Clara University School of Law, Lisa Kloppenberg. Tom Girardi and Howard Miller host a fascinating conversation and even address the high cost of lawyers. Tune in, Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970, The Answer.
In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust, at a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion, there is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion-dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. You won't just hear partisan spin. You'll hear directly from the newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. On the Katz Roundtable, you won't just hear about politics. You'll hear about science, business, education, animal rights, and any other topics that you're interested in. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8:30, right after Marano in the Morning on AM 970. The Answer.
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Joe Piscopo here, coming to you from the Smart Way to Buy. .com studios. If you look around these days, everything is getting smarter. Smartphones, smart TVs, even smart refrigerators. Well, now, after 100 years of the same old dumb way of buying cars, there's the smart way to buy a car. Just go to thesmartwaytobuy.com and see how easy they've made it. With really smart things like the Smart Way to Buy's 110% low price guarantee that ensures you are getting the best price for your next used vehicle. Need a car for commuting to work? Do you have a teenager looking for the first car? Well, then you should definitely visit the Smart Way to Buy. .com. It's your go-to place for the widest selection of used cars in New Jersey. Plus, every vehicle comes with a 5-day, 500-mile exchange policy, so you can't lose. Now that's smart. The Smart Way to Buy. Only at thesmartwaytobuy.com. That's thesmartwaytobuy.com. Anything else just wouldn't be smart.
Everybody knows this guy.
No, everybody knows he can do a radio show.
Joe Piscopo. Mornings, 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Honda.
825, this is the Piscopo in the Morning Show. Frank Morano here with Al Gattullo and Commissioner Bernard Kerik, who, before he was NYPD commissioner, was commissioner of the Department of Corrections. And I cannot figure out for the life of me how, even though 20 years ago, when he was commissioner of the Department of Corrections, there were twice as many incidents, there were twice as many inmates at the city's jails, but there were only half the incidents of violence. So there's been something really, really wrong here. And we're seeing over the last few days, this is not going anywhere, these violent incidents in New York City's jails. The latest incident, a very, very shocking attack on a correction officer beaten unconscious by an inmate at the Brooklyn House of Detention. And you look at the photos of this officer, and it puts a chill down your spine. The president of the union that represents all of New York City's correction officers is Elias Husamuddin. Elias, tell us what happened at the Brooklyn House of Detention.
In a nutshell, first, good morning, guys. Good morning. How
good
you
morning.
Doing? And I don't know what y'all did to Joe, but we'll figure that out later. In a nutshell, I had a correction officer, a new correction officer who's doing his job, locking the gates. And unfortunately, an inmate who was a member of the Crips, I'm sorry, because that entire jail belongs to the Crips and the Bloods, didn't necessarily like that the officer was doing his job and attacked the officer. If you watched the video, he beat the officer. The officer's in the hospital. And this is the third case in the last week of a correction officer being assaulted. Saturday, an officer was cut, received 5 stitches behind the ear. And basically, we are under attack. We're under siege. And it really starts at City Hall. We have a mayor, in all honesty, Frank Gurney, who's completely clueless. And not only clueless, but really have marginalized what we do. You know, we're law enforcement officers, and we're actually right now alone by ourselves because we have a commissioner who is clueless as well. We have no one at their rank of commissioner and all of her uniform managers, no one is accountable for anything that goes on. And we have a mayor who's more concerned about what the advocates have to say than he is about what the law enforcement officers who've been doing this for the last 118 years and know exactly what it is that we need to do.
Now, I know we've seen when police officers have been shot or or injured on the job. A lot of times Mayor de Blasio will actually go to the hospital and visit them. He'll call their families, offer whatever moral support he can. When your officers get assaulted, does the mayor do the same thing? Does he call the families? Does he visit the hospital?
In the 4 years that he's been mayor, he hasn't visited one correction officer, even the correction officer who was shot and killed in Brooklyn in uniform in her vehicle on her way to work.
Wow.
Like I said, he is basically totally just disregarded New York City correction officers. And look, it's just not New York City correction officers. It's the cops. It's the people in NYCHA. It's the homeless. It's the mentally ill. Nothing seems to embarrass this guy. I mean, nothing that happens. Babies die in the ACS. And nothing happens. No commissioners are held accountable. Nobody's held accountable. And this just seems to, for whatever reason, New Yorkers have allowed this man to get away with this. And I don't, like I said, this is just not something that's unique to correction. It seems to be him and what he does.
Elias, how are you, my man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it was a trick question there, Elias.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Elias. It's Bernie Kerik.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, Bernie. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Listen, where is the Board of Correction? Now, the Board of Correction is the oversight for the New York City Correction Department. Where are they? What are they doing? What have they done?
Well, unfortunately, Bernie, the Board of Corrections has been allowed to run wild. I think your administration and probably Commissioner Frazier's administration is the last administration that we've had that said to the Board of Corrections, no, we're not going to do this. No, this is not safe. No, this is not how we're going to do this. This commissioner that we have given all of her powers to run the jails to the Board of Corrections. And if you remember Dr. Cohen and Judge Bria Hamill and these people, they have been allowed to make rules and to run amok and just turn the jails into something where the inmates are actually running the jails. In Brooklyn House, you take a correct, Bernie, I don't have to tell you, you have a correction officer on the ninth floor, and you're telling that correction officer, go into this house, and you've housed 50 Crips, 50 Bloods. Do you really think that that officer is going to be able to control that house? That's like taking a police officer's gun, putting him in the worst section of town and saying, go fight crime. And this is what we're dealing with. So the Board of Corrections is horrible, and they're one of the worst culprits that we're dealing with outside of the city council. And we're just to the point now where the lives of correction officers just doesn't seem to mean anything. And I think that this has to do, I believe that this has to do with the fact that this agency is predominantly Black and Latino. And I just don't think that the city council, the mayor, even the governor, we have a correction officer who got cut on Saturday behind his ear. We have the governor who have a bill that's been passed by the Assembly and the Senate to give us a scanner. And this man has not signed the bill to further protect correction officers. There's something terribly wrong and terribly wrong in this city right now when it comes to law enforcement.
But Elias, let me ask you something. When I took over in 1994-95 and came into correction, we had 22,400 in the system on a daily basis. We averaged about 150 stabbings and slashings a month in the beginning. Over the six-year period I was there, we dropped that down to 93%, dropped overtime by 40%, dropped assaults on staff by 50%. We turned it into the most efficient jail system in the nation.
Absolutely.
What happened after I left?
Even let me tell you, Bernie, even under the most liberal mayor, one I consider most liberal, which was Mike Bloomberg, things wasn't this bad. Unfortunately, the numbers that you're seeing in the last 4 years, Bernie, we've had more than 700 inmates who've been stabbed, slashed, or cut. In the last 4 years, we've had approximately 11 correction officers who've been stabbed and cut. And basically what has happened is we no longer have anyone who understand what law enforcement is. And we have a bunch of people who have decided that the inmates need to be hugged. They need to be coddled. They need to have, dogs that they petting dogs in a petting zoo, as opposed to the fact that we're running a jail system and that this is not, we're not social workers. We're not social workers. We are not mental health workers. Now, we do those things, and those things are simply a byproduct of what we do because of the fact that we're human and we have to deal with these people. But to answer your question, what's happened is we no longer have a law enforcement mayor. We had that in Mayor Giuliani. We no longer have a law enforcement commissioner. We had that in you. We had that in Commissioner Frazier that came after you. We even had that in a couple of other commissioners, but not the way it was when you were there. And unfortunately, this is something that this is all new to us, to corrections, to everybody, because we're looking. Take a look at this. This happened yesterday, Bernie. Let me ask you a question. If this would have happened under your watch in the Brooklyn House, what would you have done? What would you have had your manager?
Listen, you know what I would have done. That place would have been locked down. There would have been no movement. Every inmate, well, first of all, we would have never had 50, 60, 80, 100 gang
exactly.
members in the same area.
Exactly.
We would have had them segregated. We had a separation plan when I created it. That would have never happened.
This mayor brought in a group called McKinsey, and they created this hub and this classification where they literally house inmates according to their gang affiliation. So in Brooklyn,
that's the most ludicrous thing you could do, because you build power, you give them power.
Exactly.
If you remember in 1995, I even went to court to take their gang identifiers away. They were wearing beads. They were wearing red shirts. They were wearing crosses. We went into court and took that stuff away so they couldn't identify themselves as a gang member and they couldn't gain power. What's happened, Frank, is that, you know, they've taken the power away from the COs to run the jails, and they've given the jails to the inmates. And nobody in City Hall gives a damn.
Well, Elias, let's talk about what City Hall is actually doing at Rikers. We learned this week that the mayor is behind a big push to make sure that detainees at Rikers register to vote. What do you make of the mayor's push for voter registration at Rikers Island?
In all honesty, Frank, the guys that we have in our custody are mostly detainees. So whether they have the right to vote or not, I don't really care. The mayor's more concerned about that. He's more concerned about Uber. He's more concerned about giving inmates free phone calls. We were able to squash the free phone calls, which in addition reduced a lot of the violence, because a lot of the violence in the jail had to do with phone calls and free phone calls. Well, the city council and this mayor have just returned free phone calls, giving correction officers an additional duty, an additional problem, because this is also going to create violence. At the end of the day, look, City Hall don't care. And me and my members are in the process, because at this particular point, we don't have a commissioner who's going to fight for us. We don't have a chief of the department who's going to fight for us. We've had that in the past. We don't have a mayor in City Hall who's going to fight. And his attitude towards the police, towards correction officers, towards law enforcement, he's shown what that is. The man is the biggest inmate advocate, and he is the biggest advocate there is for inmates. And it's unfortunate for us.
Elias, I have one more question before we end up here. Let me ask you something. McKinsey came in to do this report. There's one person, a couple people, that were involved in the renaissance of Rikers, in the turnaround. I was one of them. I was one of the main proponents, and I think you would agree with that.
Yes, I do.
McKinsey never came to me and talked to me. McKinsey never went to Bill Frazier and talked to him. McKinsey never went to they didn't go to Gary Lanigan and talk to him.
No.
Who did they talk to? How did they determine what changes would be made that has brought this basically demise of the department?
They basically talked to the Board of Corrections, inmate advocates, and they ended up being paid $30 million.
$30 million?
More than $30 million.
I hope that's tax dollars, right? Not private?
That's tax dollars.
Good, okay, great. Money well spent.
This mayor has hired all types of consultants to come into the jail to tell him what we already know. Bernie, they don't even consult with us and we're running the jail. I mean, we have to do something, and to all New Yorkers that are listening, I'm asking that you pick up the phone and you call the mayor at City Hall and that you call the speaker, Corey Johnson, of the city council, and you tell them that it's their job to protect correction officers. They have a moral obligation to protect correction officers. That was said by Joe Borelli. You have a moral obligation to protect correction officers, and you have a legal obligation to protect the inmates, and they're not doing either one.
Well, Elias Osamadine, we'll have to talk with you again soon. A ton of other stuff related to the corrections department that we're going to get your take on in the weeks going forward. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elias.
Okay, Bernie.
If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, give us a call at 877-970-2999. That's 877-970-2999. Frank Moreno here with Bernie Kerik. Here's Al Gattullo with the news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The answer.
75 degrees at 840. I'm Al Gattullo with local news first. Here's what's going on. A man whose police say set 16 fires in New York City is under arrest. News 4 New York says Jamal Deese was arrested yesterday and that charges are pending. Authorities say the fire spree began on Sunday when fires were set in trash cans inside Penn Station, a McDonald's restroom, and a nearby pizzeria. The fires continued on Monday inside several businesses along 14th Street, including a Dunkin' Donuts. The Inwood neighborhood of Manhattan being rezoned following a city council vote. Protesters were escorted from the council chambers and eventually kicked out of City Hall after several chanted liar and threw fake dollar bills. Those in opposition to the rezoning claim it will change the character of the northern Manhattan neighborhood and price residents out of their homes. The plan rezones 59 blocks north of Dyckman Street, allowing for expanded residential and commercial redevelopment. In sports, Giancarlo Stanton's grand slam capping a six-run second inning. Yankees beat the White Sox 7-3. The Yanks still 9 back in the American League East. Jacob deGrom struck out 10 over 6 innings of 4-hit ball. Mets shut out the Reds 8-0. Sports sponsored by Rawlings, the finest in the field. Visit Rawlings.com for more information. Stuck in traffic? Debbie Duhame's got the answer.
Thank you, Al. Let's see what's happening on the Northeast Corridor of New Jersey Transit. Still an hour delay between Metro Park and Trenton because of earlier problems in Metuchen. We're still seeing some problems with 5 other canceled trains with the positive train control. Let's see what's happening here on the 7 train delays, also on the 6 train delays as well. Inbound side of the GWB still holding on to a delay of about 5 to 10 minutes. Lincoln 30, Holland 30. It's busy on the Garden State Parkway south into the Essex Tolls. 280 west out by exit 15. A collision being cleared in Newark. 17 south at Route 80. A crash over there. And traffic slowing down on the New Jersey Turnpike northbound truck lanes at 13 with an accident on the shoulder. Watch for slowdown on the Deegan South getting down toward Fordham Road with emergency road work and the Cross Bronx West at White Plains Road. More construction there. Partly cloudy today. High of 91. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame, AM 970. The answer.
Sponsored by Hotels.com. With Hotels.com, get rewarded from seaside cabins in Oregon to 5-star resorts in Mexico. Hotels.com has all the options, and for every 10 nights you stay, you get one free. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded. Free nights don't include taxes and fees.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. For over 60 years, Rawlings Heart of the High gloves have been a staple in the game of baseball. Many of the game's top players, including perennial Rawlings Gold Glove Award winners Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado, and Yadi Molina, rely on Rawlings top quality leather every time they step on the diamond. Traditional Heart of the High leather can oftentimes be harder for a young athlete to break in, but now Rawlings is offering a new Heart of the High R2G series that is ready to go and sure to take the youth market by storm. With 25% more factory break-in, it's game ready off the shelf, and players can be confident knowing they have the same quality leather as the stars they aspire to be. What more could you ask for? This is the glove the pros wish they had when they were younger, and it's great for players looking towards the next level. Check out Rawlings.com for the new Heart of the Hide R2G series of gloves, in addition to their entire glove line, bats, helmets, apparel, and more. Rawlings, the mark of a pro.
Make Wall Street money without working on Wall Street. Cambridge Trading Academy has perfected an automated system that can help you make money while you sleep. Learn to trade step-by-step with their custom software. Whether you're a beginner or professional, you'll work with real traders in live classes. Take the emotion out of investing and make money in up or down markets. Sign up to watch free live trading sessions for 3 days. Go to CambridgeTradingAcademy.com or call 800-971-4160 and listen to the Cambridge Trading Academy show Saturday afternoons at 1 here on AM 970, The Answer.
Well, if you're not getting a great night's sleep, there's a good chance it's because of your pillow. I've got great news for you. Mike Lindell, the founder and creator of MyPillow, back with his most popular offer. Get this. Buy one premium MyPillow, you get the second premium MyPillow absolutely free. Sleeping on a MyPillow is fantastic. Never goes flat, stays cool throughout the night, and you can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact need to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer. MyPillow, backed with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can even put it in the washer and dryer. Now you can buy one premium MyPillow and get another premium MyPillow absolutely free. Call 1-800-651-0798. Use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. But make sure you use that promo code AM970. The number again, 1-800-651-0798, promo code AM970.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island,
hear about it with Joe Piscopo.
Mornings 6 to 10 on AM970. The Answer.
Live from the SmartWayToBuy.com studio.
8:45, this is Piscopo in the Morning. This is Frank Moreno here with Al Cattullo and Bernie Kerik. We just heard Al talking about the MyPillow. You sleep on a MyPillow, don't you, Christian?
I sleep on a MyPillow. Mike Lindell sent me a few, and I got to be honest, I thought it was kind of a scam when I heard it initially. The best. It's the best.
You know, I'm amazed.
It's the best. I love them.
I'm amazed at how many talk radio listeners still, because the advertisers are like crazy, they still don't have them, and they'll ask me, hey, what's the deal with that MyPillow? Is that really a scam? No, it's a great pillow. It's just a great night's sleep.
I'm going to tell you, it's phenomenal. Yeah, I have no complaints.
It's so funny. My wife and I were shopping last week, and we were walking out of somebody was walking out of a Bed Bath & Beyond. She had all this bedding stuff, and on top of the cart, a MyPillow.
Wow.
So I'm telling you, it works.
Well, she didn't take advantage of our promo code, AM970. Commissioner, I want to pick your brain on a bunch of issues. I have 5 hours worth of stuff to get to you, and we only have about an hour and 10 minutes left in the program. But I alluded earlier to some of the criticisms we heard of after President Trump went to the summit in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin. And, you know, President Trump basically said he doesn't see why Russia would have hacked into our election. He took back those remarks a day later. But the criticism from Democrats and Republicans and the press was over the top. Some of the more egregious comparisons that we saw about Russian interference in the election was comparing it to Pearl Harbor and the September 11th attacks. Now, you had a ringside seat for those September 11th attacks. You were down at the World Trade Center as it was crumbling. What was your reaction when you heard people comparing some fake Facebook pages and WikiLeaks to 3,000 Americans being killed around the corner from here?
I think it was despicable, and it's nothing but politics. And that's politics at its best. I heard a bunch of these, the members of Congress, mentioning 9/11, and it's sickening. I mean, the one has nothing to do with the other. And basically, it's exactly what you said. Did Russian try to interfere? Yes, they tried. They failed. They had no impact on the election. You know, they're throwing up a bunch of Facebook and Twitter accounts and doing all this WikiLeaks stuff and all this nonsense. Listen, this isn't the first time. They've been doing this for years. They do it constantly, and they're going to do it in the future. We have to be ready for that. We have to be prepared for it. We have to respond to it, yes. But do not, under any circumstance, compare that to 9/11.
We're also seeing this new story today having to do with Russian sanctions. Apparently, the United States is instituting even more sanctions against Russia. We already had quite a few sanctions in place, but now these latest sanctions have to do with Russia supposedly poisoning a British spy. Very interesting that these sanctions should be enacted now, as Senator Rand Paul, who's become, oddly enough, something of an ally of the president, is in Moscow carrying a letter from President Trump to President Putin, working for better relations, and our government is instituting these sanctions. sanctions, which have not only caused a dramatic market sell-off in Russia, their stock market is cratering today, but you have the Russian government denouncing these as both unfriendly and illegal. What do you make of kind of our schizophrenic foreign policy when it comes to Russia, where we have Trump saying, we want better relations, better relations. I'm willing to meet with Putin. I did meet with Putin. And then at the same time, we're sanctioning, sanctioning, sanctioning.
Well, I think the sanctioning comes based on, you know, it's the result of things that have happened. Look, you know, and they, you know, the mainstream media and the Democrats have, you know, they've tried to crucify Trump for his, you know, this Russian collusion thing or a Russian delusion, if you will. At the end of the day, he's killed a number of Russians in Syria. He's imposed more sanctions than any of the last few presidents, including this. And it continues to increase. But at the end of the day, keep in mind, Russia is still the other major nuclear power in the world. He can't just say, listen, you know, give him the finger and tell him take a walk.
Right.
No, he can't do that. You've got to have common sense. He's got to have a relationship with Putin. And hopefully he has a good relationship with Putin. You know, these are the two biggest nuclear powers in the world. They have to have a relationship. They have to communicate. But Russia still has to be held accountable for the stuff that they do.
It's been my contention that because of this Mueller probe and because of this perpetual drumbeat that Donald Trump is somehow a Russian agent, that he almost, and his administration, almost feels a need to prove policy-wise that they're not. So they do things that, in my view, precisely for the reason you just articulated, which is that Russia is the second largest nuclear power in the world, that, you know, we shouldn't be doing. You know, we're selling lethal aid to Ukraine. We're allowing countries in Eastern Europe into NATO. We're making sanctions far worse. We're expelling Russian diplomats. Everything we're doing policy wise, we're bombing Syria, which is a satellite, a client country of Russia, essentially. Everything we're doing policy wise seems to be making relations worse with Russia. And I think this is due to this Mueller probe and this need to prove that you're not a Russian agent.
Yeah, but you know what, Frank? You have to look at it from a broader perspective and realize that it's not unjustified. Mm. These are things that Russia should be held accountable for. Maybe if this Russian delusion thing wasn't going on, maybe the president wouldn't be as harsh. Maybe. I don't know. But I know him pretty well. And look, he's a stand-up guy. I think he wants to have this relationship with Putin. Personally, on a personal level, I want him to have the relationship.
Right.
I want us to have a good relationship with Russia. But I think if this Russian probe, if this Mueller thing would diminish and go away, I think it would be a lot more easier to deal with them.
Yeah. 8:51. Let's get a look on how traffic's shaping up this morning. Debbie Duhaime, are there any fewer Uber vehicles on the road than there were yesterday?
I still see a lot of them out there, Frank. I'll tell you what's happening. Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Bernard. Good morning, everybody. Let's take a spin here and see what's happening as you head over to the Hudson River crossings. The inbound side of the GWB finally easing here, about 15, though, from the Palisades Parkway. Over at the inbound Lincoln, that's 20. Holland 25. It's still kind of busy for you as you head over to the southbound FDR Drive, getting down toward the 70s. And the Deegan has been horrible all morning, southbound down through Fordham Road and getting down toward the area of the Cross Bronx with right lane construction. Cross Bronx west into White Plains Road. Emergency road work there as well. Just horrible traffic. And we're still seeing some slowdowns on the Henry Hudson as well, southbound getting down through the 230s with more road work. So really tough ride as you head through those areas. Let's see what else is happening on the subways. New Jersey Transit, we're still seeing an hour delay between Metro Park and Trenton. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime on the Joe Piscopo Show, AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
There are plenty of good, solid journalists who do their best to report the news straight down the middle. But there are plenty of corrupt journalists who masquerade as news people who are actually advocates.
They're trying to stop this presidency.
And normal people know it.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
Weekdays at 10, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Right now at Kohl's, get your family back to school ready with an extra 15% off. Young Men's Urban Pipeline denim is just $21.24. Family tees start at only $6.80. And save on Cube storage units, starting at $46.74. Plus, everyone gets Kohl's cash. Get ready for back to school at Kohl's. Select styles, 15% offer valid August 3rd through 12th with promo code SCHOOL15. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Hi, Phil Van Horn here from Blue Rock Energy. At Blue Rock, better rates are just one part of tailoring an energy strategy to your business needs. In addition to finding the right rate structures for electric, gas, and renewable energy sources, we explore things like LED lighting, energy management systems, and HVAC improvements, so you can conserve energy in a way that's unique to your business. Visit BlueRockEnergy.com today to learn how to get a free on-site assessment.
AM 970 The Answer is excited to announce the Book of the Month giveaway from Regnery Publishing. This month's book is The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President by Sean Spicer. In The Briefing, former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer reveals the truth behind some of the biggest news stories of our time and offers a glimpse into what it's like to stand at the press secretary's podium. Enter to win a copy of Sean Spicer's The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce, and no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar, or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first five callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Joe Walsh, coming up tonight at 9 on AM 970, The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Nissan.
Couple of minutes before 9 o'clock. Well, finally, New York City's heat advisory is over, and that means Joe Lundberg can show his face in public in this town once again. Joe Lundberg, congratulations. Well done.
I no longer have to be the shadow. You know?
How's it looking today, though, Joe?
It's still going to be pretty uncomfortable today. 89 with pretty high humidity, just not as oppressive as yesterday, and I think we're going to be in the upper 80s again tomorrow. But then the weekend is going to be completely different. A lot of clouds around this weekend, much cooler, 70s to maybe 80 on Saturday, and a good chance for showers. And I think we could see a shower and thunderstorm at any time on Sunday with highs just barely above 80.
So that means I'm not going to be mowing my lawn this weekend.
Well, if you do it tomorrow or this afternoon, if you have the time.
All right. Well, I'll have to do it tomorrow then. Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Sounds like cigar weather might be in order for
yeah,
for
I think
this
tomorrow,
morning.
Not today.
Are you a cigar smoker at all, Commissioner?
Nope.
No? So you what do you do for fun? You know, we always see you as this tough, cop, very into law enforcement and things like that, security. What do you do for fun?
I work out. I read. I talk to my girls. I've got a 15 and 18-year-old. I'm heartbroken. I feel like somebody's taking a spoon and carving a heart out of my chest. My 18-year-old is going off to Michigan State University in 2 weeks.
That's great. What's she going to study?
Journalism.
Oh, no.
journalism.
Oh, they all. Every once in a while, they go down a wayward path. What can you say? What can you say?
You know, there's two things my wife told them when they were younger. I don't never want you to become a U.S. attorney, and I don't want you to become a reporter. And I got one wants to go to law school, and the other wants to go to be a reporter.
Oh, boy. It's not too late to get them cut out of the will. All right. We'll take your calls next at 877-970-2999. Coming up next hour, is Saudi Arabia a friend or a foe? We'll ask Commissioner Carrick, who lived and worked there. And the Shelley Silver sentence, too harsh or too easy? We'll find out. But first, here's Al Gattulo.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
75 degrees at 8:59. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Authorities say a 16-year-old student stabbed another teenager at a school in Brownsville. Violence unfolded yesterday at IS 292. According to reports, the teen told investigators he was jumped, took out a kitchen knife in self-defense. 15-year-old who was stabbed in the shoulder and stomach was hospitalized, but is expected to survive. Reader's Digest is out with its annual list of the most charming small towns in America. In New Jersey, it's Haddonfield, a South Jersey town that's a short drive from New York or Pennsylvania. The magazine cited Haddonfield's old-fashioned inn, sidewalk cafes, and window shopping. In sports, the Yankees beat the White Sox 7-3. Mets shut out the Reds 8-0. You now know what's going on. I'm Al Gattulo, AM 970, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.